It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, you know when you're sleeping and someone's cooking bacon and you're like, oh, wait a second, who's up? I'm in.
My ex-wife would say, I know what it's not when I get underneath those covers.
The Dutch oven?
Here you go. Here's one for you and one for you. And here's another for you.
So gross because you're lactose intolerant. Oh, you eat ice cream every night.
Oh, dude, I can almost do that on command. It's great. That's one of the great talents that I have.
You don't live with your own wife now.
On command.
That's why your wife doesn't live with you. Disgusting.
I make myself even giggle at night when I do that. Working on a night
move. It really is funny to know that, and good to know on this National Goof Off Day that at 63 years old, you still giggle at your own toots.
Of course you do. Everybody does, don't they?
That never ends?
No, that never ends. That never, ever, ever ends.
And if never ends.
And it never ends that if you have a brother or a sister that knows you, if you drop one of them when you're in your 50s, they always still go, they laugh at you.
Michael.
Still. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that ended for me when I was about 14 years old, I think.
What? You stopped giggling?
I stopped laughing at my...
Your gas.
Oh, well, I'm sorry there, Mr. Mature.
Oh, John, my goodness.
John Maturity back there. Sorry about that.
Hey, for the headlines and get you caught up on your brackets, also our Coach's Corner we're going to dive into. Maybe some good news in the Tate Martell situation at Miami, transferring from Ohio State that could bode well for Texas and their effort to have Brew McCoy, the big-time wide receiver prospect, eligible immediately. But first, let's pay off the B&E fact of the day. See how you do on this, Buck. Did you know yesterday Murray State's Ja Morant, one of the best players in this tournament, had a triple-double, leading the Racers to an easy win as a 12 seed? It's the first triple-double since when? By whom? Do you know the answer?
Big Magic Johnson.
Was not Big Magic Johnson, as a matter of fact.
He's got AIDS.
Big Larry Bird.
No, it was Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
He had 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists versus UCLA in the Southeast Regional second round, March 18th of 2011.
Wow.
Last time it was done. But I mentioned that there were two all-time greats that have also posted tournament triple-doubles, Shaquille O'Neal and Shaq.
Big Ralph Sampson.
Shaq, 1992. 26 points, 13 boards, 11 block shots against an overmatched BYU squad back in 1992. And how about this one? This one would be this is a good bar bet for you today when you're sitting around watching the basketball. Dwayne Wade, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists versus Kentucky. And that was in a Midwest regional final. I remember that game. Unbelievable performance by Dwayne Wade on March 29th of 2003. So that puts Ja Morant in some pretty good company. Hey, BK, on Ja Morant, how did a kid that's probably going to be a top five pick in the NBA draft, how did he end up at Murray State? He's only a sophomore. What's his story?
I think they were telling a little bit of it yesterday, but his dad told him, go where they want you. Don't go where you want to go. Don't necessarily go one of these big schools and have to work your way up and be just small fish in a big pond type of deal. He said, go where they want you, and he met with Murray State and liked the coaching staff and felt wanted there, and that's where he ended up going. This wasn't like a top 10 recruit or anything like that, but he's turned into a really, really special player, and he'll probably be the number two overall pick in this year's
number
draft
two.
After Zion. Yeah, I would guess. I mean, it's him or R.J. Barrett, the other kid out of Duke, but man, if Morant can build off what he did yesterday and Murray State maybe wins another game in the tournament, more people see what that kid is capable of, his stock's only going to rise.
By the way, the other triple-doubles in tournament history, Cole Aldrich for Kansas. Remember this guy, BK? Cole Aldrich?
Of course, big whitey.
13, 20, and 10. He had 10 block shots against the Flyers of Dayton. Andre Miller, remember when he was at Utah with Rick Majerus?
Fabulous.
Yeah, he had an 18-point, 14-rebound, 13-assist game against Arizona. And former Michigan swingman Gary Grant back in 1987. Gary Grant posted a triple-double, so... Ja Morant in pretty good company there with Draymond, Shaq, Dwayne Wade. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, good, great stuff.
By the way, go where you're wanted is something that will be a nice segue into the Tate Martell conversation coming up. But go ahead, you were going to say.
Anybody that you guys see today that if you could change, you would change today on your in your brackets? I think I have two.
I have one on the other side. But
I have two.
Let's get the headlines first, then we'll get into today's brackets and games today. Let's get to the games from yesterday and what else is going on in your sports landscape. UBO Business Services brings you the news. Always from the Ticket City Update Desk. Yeah, day one of the NCAA tournament saw most of the favorites prevail. 12 of the 16 lower seeds were winners yesterday, including easy wins for the one seed Gonzaga. As they rolled, two seeds Michigan and Michigan State were winners. Michigan State had a bit of a battle with Bradley, but got the victory. A pair of three seeds victorious. Purdue and LSU were winners. Fourth seeded Kansas rolled past Northeastern. Dedrick Lawson scored 25 points in a rout of Northeastern, 87-54. So they get an easy win for the Big 12, or out of the Big 12. The four upsets included the performance of the day. We just mentioned Murray State guard John Morant and his triple-double. He led the Racers to a rout of Marquette, 83-64. The other upsets, as far as the seeds were concerned, came from a pair of 10 seeds. Florida knocked off Nevada, Minnesota down Louisville in the first game of the day yesterday. Final game of the day last night saw ninth-seeded Baylor drain 16 three-pointers in a 78-68 win over Syracuse. In the West, Mekhi Mason led the way for the Bears with 22 points. They move on. Day two today, 16 more games, including all, three of the number one seeds, Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia, all in action today. Also on day two, four more Big 12 teams hit the floor, three of them in early games. Oklahoma faces Ole Miss at 11:40 this morning. The three-seed Texas Tech tips off with Northern Kentucky at the 14th seed coming up at 12:30. And K-State will face a group from UC Irvine at 1 o'clock. The final Big 12 team to see action will be Iowa State today. They'll face Ohio State tonight. Cougars face Georgia State, or the Houston Cougars, I should say, face Georgia State as well. That game tips at 6:20. Other news, how about from Major League Baseball? Not long from the opening of the full regular season. And how about former Texas State Bobcat Paul Goldschmidt, who after being traded this offseason from the Arizona Diamondbacks to the St. Louis Cardinals, has locked himself in on a new five-year contract extension worth approximately $130 million. Congratulations to Paul Goldschmidt. He gets paid, one of the more underappreciated stars in Major League Baseball, gets his new deal with the Redbirds. Also from the NBA last night, Dallas Mavericks in action. And my computer froze up, so I do not have their score. I will mention that big weekend out at Circuit of the Americas, the inaugural IndyCar Classic coming to the circuit. We'll have tickets to give away, a four-pack of the tickets coming up at the bottom of the hour. The race itself, the first IndyCar race at COTA ever, will be 12:40 on Sunday. 60 laps, 204.6 miles at the Circuit of the Americas. And now I'll mention the Mavericks score. Dallas lost to Sacramento, 116-110. And that's the news.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, my handy-dandy bracket. I hate when my computer freezes up. That's always fun. Apologize for that.
What's a computer?
What's a computer? So yesterday,
what's a computer?
Do you know your overall record yesterday, Buck? I went 12-4 the 16 games. 12.
Yeah,
I lost
5 games.
My Kansas pick over the Northeastern upset pick of Kansas was disappointing. That was a bad decision. As was my Vermont Catamount win over Purdue. Bad pick.
Florida State.
And that was a bad pick. Bad pick.
Well, yeah, Florida State played okay at the end.
Oh, they got size. They've got athleticism. Yeah. And, you know, that'll be interesting to see, because BK mentioned that Big Ten went 5-0 yesterday. You know, the ACC with these 3-1 seeds, anybody played in that ACC is going to be battle-tested, to say the least. And Florida State, a really good team now, not having to play the meat grinder of the ACC, looked good yesterday. So the SEC
was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, those two, Big 12, 2-0 as well, but they'll get four more today. And that's my upset alert pick of the day with UC Irvine and K-State. I think UC Irvine has a real chance in that. They're a 4.5-point underdog, but keep an eye on that without Dean Wade. Which one would you like to change?
Well, if I could change, and that's an if I could, but the Buffalo game today was against Arizona State is one. Arizona State, who got in, you know, in the play-in game, I think they may have a chance against Buffalo. And the other one was the Cincinnati game. I smell an upset there.
Yeah, that's
Iowa.
The one. See, that's one of my teams making a run.
You can't have the Big Ten do that to you.
Mr. Crystal Ball and Cincinnati goes down today in the first game of the day. That'll be terrible for my bracket.
What do you say about Buffalo, BK? I know you like the big guy. Buffalo has this dude that is so muscle-bound and so big and strong, and they got a bunch of athletes. But Arizona State, Late in the season, getting into this thing?
Oh, late in the season, they weren't very good, but I've brought this stat up a couple times on the midday show. You know, they brought in the first four format in 2011 when they expanded the field to 68 teams. Mm-hmm. There's been a first four winner every year since they brought it in. And 7 of the 8 years, the winner of the Wednesday non-16 first four game has been the team to win the first round of the tournament. which 7 of the 8 years the team in Arizona State's position has won a game in the actual NCAA tournament. So recent history, and that's pretty damning evidence right there, would tell you that Arizona State has a very, very good shot to win today.
Yeah, I looked at Buffalo. I'm thinking, man, they could get beat by Arizona State.
Buffalo's not your average six seed. I mean, they're really good. They lost 3 games this year.
Yeah, 31-3.
And they can score. They can get up into the hundreds.
Yeah. Another one of these players. I mean, people don't get to watch the Ja Morants and the Fletcher McGees. Another one, C.J. Massenburg for Buffalo.
Oh,
they haven't
yeah.
seen him or heard of him yet. A lot of people saw him last year when Buffalo killed Arizona.
Right.
On the 13-4 upset last year when they were the 13. This Massenburg kid is really, really talented. Buffalo will go as far as he can.
And decent conversation in the MAC.
Yeah, no, I mean,
a lot of good teams in there.
Well, look, I think we all saw that Murray State was underseeded yesterday. They were not. It's not a 12 seed. I mean, come on. I mean, they draw Marquette, who was a sliding 5 seed.
You would know the difference. They flipped that.
No doubt. And that's where, come on, Murray State is a 12. That's, I don't want to say that's unfair to Marquette, but I think they're better than that. And I think we may see the Buffalo at 31-3. Might be a little underseeded, but not the big upsets yesterday where you saw a 13, 14, 15, or 16 seed taking somebody down, but 1-12 seed got a victory, and we'll see if we get more of those today because it's hard to even call 10, 7, 8, 9 matchups upsets at that point. Those are coin flip games without a doubt, but I like yours. I think Buffalo will roll today over Arizona State, but even though the history and the precedent that has been set, and you better not be right about Iowa because I don't need
then,
Cincinnati going
and
out
the games
this
over
early.
The weekend, over the weekend, like if Texas Tech wins and that Texas Tech ends up playing, who do they end up playing? Maybe
Buffalo.
Michigan?
Texas Tech would see Buffalo.
They'd see Buffalo?
If Buffalo wins today. I mean, Texas Tech will probably be rooting for Arizona State at that point. But Tech has to deal with Northern Kentucky today. Yeah, they would see Buffalo, who, as we just said, is 31-3. So
you guys still like Michigan as a – you
do.
Still like the
I
head
do.
Coach and what they can do?
I just like – I think they're tough. I think Michigan is a tough team. You know, John Beilein has been a tremendous tournament coach. They just have a toughness to them. Because people think of John Beilein and think of offense, I think most, but that's a really tough defensive team as well. Montana was no match for them yesterday. They meat grinded them down. I do like Michigan. I mean, I think between I have them playing Texas Tech in the final there to get to the round of eight. Well, no, because if Texas Tech would play Michigan in the Sweet 16, if they both made it through, and the winner that could be that's where I have Murray State. I have Murray State in the top of that bracket. Getting to the Elite Eight and a chance at the Final Four because I think they're going to – I have them beating Gonzaga, which is probably a bad pick after what I saw from
Gonzaga
yesterday.
Feeling good about Gonzalez.
Gonzalez? You like Gonzalez?
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, Juan Gonzalez finally getting there.
They in Kentucky may be the two most impressive – I mean, they're one seed and a two seed, but Kentucky holding Abilene Christian to 13 points and a half. And
those guys didn't belong on the same floor. You'd watch these like ACU guys try to back down these Kentucky guys. It's just like,
And then try to shake them and bake them.
Hey,
what are
you
going?
Doing?
What are you trying to do?
You see them trying to shake and bake them
like
in the paint?
When you would try to back down your big brother or something, right?
They should have not shot 1 2-pointer. They should have just chunked up threes and
I would
they
agree.
Would have hit enough to
they,
win.
They tried to take them in the paint, and they tried to shake and bake those dudes, and they just stood there and waited for them to try to take a shot.
Playing against your little brother, just swat it into the neighbor's yard.
Are you really trying to come in here? Come on, man. I know. Well, I thought the same thing for Yale. You know, Yale, if they would have just kept shooting threes like they did at the end of the game, might have beaten LSU. They were down double digits, and they just started flinging them, and they got hot, and they were draining threes.
They shot about 400 of them. I think they started 4 of 30 from three before they got on that barrage.
Where do you think they are, Texas?
They were going with the nerd game plan, which is jack up a bunch of threes and try to win, but they didn't hit enough until the last 2 minutes when they were down by 2 months.
Remember the old nerd game plan when the old dude used to coach, I think, Penn or whatever? They would just pass it around. Oh, my God, pass it around. Yeah, Princeton. He was at Princeton.
Yeah, the old Princeton offense.
Oh, that used to drive me out of my mind.
God, they put a shot clock in this.
No kidding.
Good basketball day one. We got another day of hoops coming up today. Before we dive into our coach's corner, let me tell you about Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct, tremendous. You know, in pretty much any other retail venture that you go into as a consumer, you've got to make a choice. Do you want the upscale high-end luxury store, or do you want to go with the discount value store, price leader, the discounter? You got to make that choice. There's a fork in the road, but guess what? Diamonds Direct has eliminated the fork. You get both. And I promise you, you can't come up with another retailer that gives you both of those things. The high-end luxury experience, but still guarantees you the lowest price in the industry. That's why Diamonds Direct is always such a low-stress situation when you get in there. It really is the total package. package right there in the Domain, the true superstore with a luxury showroom, though, and unparalleled service. They've got the unbeatable value. No one else can offer that, I promise you. The rock bottom, no middleman, straight from the source prices on all their fine diamonds. The selection is outrageous. It's Diamonds Direct, a truly revolutionary concept in American retail. Go in there and see them. They're great people. You'll be blown away. You'll thank us later. At Diamonds Direct in the Domain, it's where Austin gets engaged.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by the Hyatt Regency Lost Pines Resort and Spa, just 23 miles from Austin.
All right, so coming up, we'll have more on the hoops madness, but a little football, a little football. All right, Buck, so Longhorns are a week into spring practice. Now they're off for the break, and they'll be back. And, of course, the spring game coming up April the 13th. And prime timer down there at the stadium. Some of the early indications of what people have liked that they've seen in the early practice is Sam Ehlinger and his leadership just taking the reins of this program. He's been accurate. His the shoulder injury he dealt with at the end of last year and from the middle of last year on, no signs of that. He's been on point leading this football team. Also, Keontae Ingram, Buck, the running back, up to 212, 215 pounds, which they're trying to put weight on him so he can be more durable. But also in that backfield, the true freshman from Cuero, Texas, Jordan Whittington, showing out. They've got him at running back, and they like what they're seeing, the early indications of a, you know, kind of a Alvin Kamara kind of player that they want to make him into behind Keontae Ingram. That's a pretty good set of running backs with Daniel Young being the third and you know, Kirk Johnson as your fourth. We'll see what they can get out of the running back position this year.
Well, got a lot of guys who get a lot of reps, and that's a great thing, and especially still have to watch out for the young guy that's putting on the weight. He doesn't need – I mean, we kind of know what he can do when he once he gets strong and physical and everything else. But the other guys – you know, Daniel Young's, I guess he's their fullback. I might as well call him a fullback,
yeah,
right?
He's kind of a short yardage guy.
Is he a lead any lead blocker in some of the short yardage stuff this year?
We'll see if they use that H-back role. I mean, who's going to replace Andrew Beck becomes a question for Texas. He was pretty key. I mean, kind of a Cade Brewer thought there. But, yeah, I mean, Danny Young, we'll see what his role will be. But I'll say this for Keontae Ingram. There were reports last year that he got down to 190 pounds during the season.
Kept losing weight.
It's just, you know, the grind of a season for their first-year player who was, you know, really your starting running back. He and Trey Watson shared the carries last year. This year he's going to be asked to be kind of the lead running back.
It'll be important. He's got to have a good year. If they're going to win this conference, they're going to have to lean on him. Yeah, you can have a bunch of running backs by committee, but he has to be that
right.
guy.
I mean, isn't the simple bumper sticker version of that conversation that this year Sam Ehlinger can't be your best runner, right? He needs to be.
I thought that last year, but
he was. I mean, yeah. Sam Ehlinger, you know,
and
was
they won a bunch of games.
But you'd like to see some of that come off of him, and you have a running back or a couple running backs that can take the load. Trey Watson was really a great pickup as a graduate transfer. So those are some of the positives. The negatives,
and they're in good position, by the way, for the running back down in North Shore, because the running back and the offensive tackle are going to the same place. It looks like they're going to the same school.
Yep,
that's incredible.
The left tackle Damian George, and then Zach Evans, the running back.
Did you see that guy, George? Did you see the size of him?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's taking a visit to Alabama, I think, coming up here. Everybody wants him. But those two, I don't want to say package deal, but it does seem like it. And there's an offensive lineman also from Houston named Chad Lindbergh. And it kind of seems like those three are going, they want to go together.
My God.
Another kid out of the city of Houston.
Package deal. Three guys?
Well, and Zach Evans has made it clear. Remember, the Longhorns already have three offensive line commitments for that class. They'd like to add Lindbergh as a fourth. And that's something
he's watching.
He wants to see who's up front, and he knows those kids out of Houston, his own teammate, and then Lindbergh very well. And then,
that is so funny. That's when your recruiter comes into your house and says, "Hey, so you guys are going as a package deal."
Yeah.
And you come back to the head coach. He goes, "Just call him up and say yeah. Don't have to watch it. But just say yes. Yeah. We'll take it as a package deal today."
All right. Here is this Tate Martell story from the Miami Herald. Props to them doing some good reporting on this. So Miami Herald with a story that because the ruling came down this week that the NCAA has cleared Tate Martell to play immediately at Miami, transferred from Ohio State. And this was kind of seen to be as a litmus test story. Now, Texas has Brew McCoy, the kid who committed to USC, but a week later decided he wanted to come to Texas and thought he was lied to by USC, or at least Cliff Kingsbury, when Cliff bolted for the Arizona Cardinals. Well, Tate Martell's Phoenix-based attorney, Travis Leach, in a conversation with the Miami Herald, says in his effort to convince the NCAA to permit Martell to play immediately, the facts that he thought were most important were that Ohio State, once they had Justin Fields coming in, the Georgia transfer, they kind of severed ties with Tate Martell. Now, you could read this story and say that Tate Martell got his feelings hurt because they brought in Justin Fields, and then they stopped loving on him enough and stopped showing him attention, and it all went to Justin Fields. But his Phoenix-based attorney says that that was really the case, that once Justin Fields was in, Ohio State made no effort to keep Tate Martell. And according to the lawyer, this argument carried weight with the NCAA. He said that there were no efforts made by Ohio State to rectify the feelings between the two. Tate felt it was in his best interest and Ohio State's best interest to transfer, and Ohio State did not object or try to get him to change his mind. He says it was enormously helpful that Ohio State did not object to the contention, and because they could have fought this with the NCAA, but they did not. They had no comment, essentially. The Buckeyes were given the opportunity to, and they didn't. They were fine with it, and that was one of the big reasons, according to his attorney, of why he can play. Well, that falls in line with the Brew-McCoy situation, because USC, freedom of a scholarship, and it doesn't appear that they have any grievance against Brew-McCoy, that he decided to change his mind and wanted to go someplace else. So under the same precedent, if Brew-McCoy's, you know, people argue that same thing, look, I made a decision 1 week and decided I needed to change my mind for the best interest of my long term, and that USC had no problem with it. They agreed, let's, you know, call it a day and move forward. I mean, that could be something that leads Brew-McCoy.
I mean, they didn't fight that at all. USC, when he wanted out, they didn't say, no, we want you.
By all accounts on the West Coast.
They talked to him. I mean, the coaches tried to convince him to stay.
Okay, they didn't just say go, did they?
Once he made the decision, they didn't like...
Right. Now, that's a delineation, right? I mean, it sounds like the way Justin Fields, the way Tate Martell's attorney made it, as soon as Justin Fields was in the fold,
they were like...
And he, you know, he got his feelings hurt. He was not real happy about that. He thought he was going to be in line to be the starting. And you can understand that. He thought he was in line to be the starting quarterback this year with Dwayne Haskins off to the NFL. He's going to have to compete for it, but... They bring in Justin Fields, the five-star commitment, and you know, he didn't want to compete against Justin Fields.
Well, I gotta believe the USC begged the hell out of Brew-McCoy. Come on, man, you can't do this. They didn't just say, "Okay, you made your decision.
Well,
you want to go to Texas, goodbye."
The question will be under this precedent,
right?
If when Brew-McCoy's side are making their case to the NCAA,
correct?
Does USC have any argument? Because the way they make it sound, again, that I'll read it from the Miami Herald. And the way they wrote it, it was enormously helpful that Ohio State did not object to any of the contentions made by Leach in his presentation to the NCAA, even though the Buckeyes were given the opportunity to do so. So they didn't argue back. We'll see. I don't know.
But USC will say that we did. They're not going to say anything anymore. It's done.
Right. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, they're not going to say. Why would they go through all this?
If that's the precedent, if the school that you're leaving has no issue.
Why go through it?
Right. And it was a week. I mean, never stepped foot on a field at USC. I think that leans in favor of Brew-McCoy being able to play, and if he is...
Unless you just want to be petty and say, no, we begged, but I don't think they would do it. They're just saying, we separated, that's all.
Right, and I'm just using one case to maybe illuminate the other, saying that there's a chance here for Brew-McCoy, and obviously they're being more liberal.
Do you trust the NCAA to make this one be the one that sticks, though?
Well, based on precedent, I think so. I think there's a strong chance that Brew-McCoy could play, because it does seem like they're trying to do what's in the best interest of the student-athlete. And you know,
did you say student athlete?
Yeah, if Ohio State's not going to argue the transfer and they're actually okay with it, that sounds like the same thing from USC. That, you know, kid made a decision and a week later decided he had some cold feet on it, wanted to go back on it, and so we'll see. And if Brew-McCoy is able to play, he'll be an impact player for Texas as a freshman, along with Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay, and the rest of that receiving core. He and Jordan Whittington as freshmen can really be. Guys that bring some explosion to that Texas offense in 2019. So we'll follow that story. There's your Tate Martell story from the Miami Herald. He is going to be eligible to play ASAP for Manny Diaz. We'll come back, pick up some March Madness conversation. As we mentioned, 1 hour from now, Tom Kite, the Golf Hall of Famer, World Golf Hall of Famer, will join us, talk some golf, talk some Dell Match Play for next week. Also, we have a four-pack of Indy race tickets to give away. You want to be out there today for practice, the qualifying today and tomorrow, and then the race on Sunday. We've got a four-pack for you coming up next on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, another spectacular sunrise that I'm a witness to right now and over the city of downtown Austin. Beautiful, beautiful. Been all week with these beautiful brightly colored sunrises. It's happening right now. And then the ATX going to come up on a mostly sunny 73-degree day, the 22nd of March. BK will lead us through Hot or Not before the top of the hour. The golf great Tom Kite will be with us in 1 hour to talk a little golf, a little Dell Technologies Match Play. And coming up here in about 7 minutes, we're going to give away our final four-pack of Indy race passes, two tickets to all the events this weekend. So today, tomorrow, and the race on Sunday, which is weird. I saw in the schedule that they're going to start the race on Sunday at 2:43. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Like, why 2:43? Or, no, check that, 12:43. 12:43 will be the race time. I don't know, whatever 43. But that's when the race will start, so don't be late. That'll be coming up on Sunday, so we'll have those passes coming your way. We're talking plenty of March Madness, talking some Texas football. Here's an interesting text on our Tate Martell discussion. This says, guys, the athletic director Gene Smith at Ohio State has been really open about the new transfer portal. He said if a kid doesn't want to stay at Ohio State, they hope he'll be able to leave without issue. And you wonder and you hope that's the case for Lynn Swann. Because, look, there's no doubt there's been a push among administrators and the NCAA to side with the student athlete a little bit more on these cases and give them some power that
yes.
If a kid doesn't want to be someplace, it's
before they start getting paid, yes.
It's his college experience or hers. Let them
mm-hmm.
move on and let them be where they need want to be. And you know, that's Ohio State's stance.
But they don't get to walk. They get talked to. They get begged.
But it does seem like if USC doesn't fight the claim of Brew McCoy at all and make an argument of why he should have to sit out.
I don't know why you would do that. That's just like burning a bad bridge in college football with somebody else. You may have to play that coach. You may have to play that school. You just don't want to do that because once a kid says, I'm out, why would you say, I want you there? But you're going to ask him. You're not going to let him just walk.
Well, here's the USC side was, USC knew good and well that he was leaning Texas before Christmas. Remember the early signing period?
Yep.
That he was a Texas commitment, and that's when Cliff Kingsbury was hired. And, he came in and was the reason that he flipped the other way. And then Cliff Kingsbury left. So if you're Clay Helton at USC, you know the story. This kid was headed to Texas in the early signing period, and then you hired Cliff Kingsbury, and that swung him back, and then Cliff left. I mean, that would be a fair argument, and it could be one where they say, kid made his decision. Good luck to him.
If this kid was from Alabama or Chicago or Boston or New York or something like that, that would be a little bit. But he was also a California kid that has players on USC's team
yep.
right there.
Well, it'd be interesting, and that's why this case will be interesting to follow, because remember, Texas had two quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Remember, Casey Thompson and Cam Rising went in the portal, and Texas worked hard to keep both of them, by all accounts, and really worked to keep Casey Thompson.
Every school's going to. Yes, they should.
And that would be the delineation with the Tate Martell story. According to the Miami Herald and his own attorney, Ohio State didn't argue it at all. Like, they didn't argue any of the facts, because Tate Martell's argument was, like, as soon as they got Justin Fields,
they didn't pay any attention to me.
I was out.
Right.
I was not in their plans at that point, and Ohio State didn't even argue that case. Now, Tom Herman made a strong argument to try to keep Casey Thompson, and so had he transferred.
And a smart move to do.
Yeah, they wanted to keep him, and obviously Cam Rising transferred. You wonder if Cam Rising will get to play immediately or be eligible immediately at Utah, but I don't even know that he's filed a grievance to play immediately. He's transferring and planning to sit out and if you will, I'll follow that story at Utah with Cam Rising, who transferred.
Well, I think it's just an interesting rule. I think they're going to slow it down a little bit, but if a kid doesn't want to be at a certain place, yeah, you're going to, instead of getting those guys to start getting lawyers and all that other stuff, and by the way, this one lawyer is getting all his way with all these players, which is okay.
Yes. Well,
he's pretty good at what he's doing.
Tate Martell had a different one, a Phoenix-based attorney, because he's from out there in Las Vegas. He had a Phoenix-based attorney, but yeah, the other guy that represented Shea Patterson and Justin Fields.
Right.
I think he's at a Little Rock. He has gained some reputation as being good at this. It says, why is it taking so long for the Brew decision?
Because it's the NCAA, and that's what scares me. They may let two guys go, they may let three guys go, but they may say, let's not do it this time.
And who
time.
Knows? I mean, the Justin Fields decision came down. Who knows if they're doing this one by one, and now we're on to Brew McCoy, and we'll see where this one goes. And it doesn't matter for Brew McCoy until the fall. I mean, it really doesn't. When the decision comes down, he's practicing with Texas. He's working out with the Longhorns. It'll be up
and
until.
And if he had to sit, he was coming anyway. He wants to be here.
Yes, and by all accounts, he wanted to be here before he committed to USC.
Right.
But Cliff Kingsbury swung the equation, and then Cliff bolted to the NFL. So
I always say, go to this place that you want to go to school at.
That's right. All right, how about this from the Dallas Cowboys? You see, the Cowboys have announced that they're going to play their second preseason game this year in Hawaii. Hawaii against the LA Rams. So Jerry's taking the boys on a trip to Hawaii.
Stu Myrick will be out there.
Is he really? Stu going to Hawaii?
I assume. He travels with the team.
So the way this schedule will work, apparently the Cowboys will train in Oxnard like usual in July into August. They'll play one preseason game on the West Coast, and then when they break camp in Oxnard, they'll fly to Hawaii and they'll play the L.A. Rams. It'll technically be an L.A. Rams home game and a rematch of that playoff game from a year ago, but it is the second preseason game, which you won't see many of the starters for very long in Hawaii. And then they'll break that game. After that game, they'll fly back to Dallas and continue training camp at the Star Complex. So a lot of travel in the preseason next year for the Cowboys.
I know it's early, but I feel good about a lot of Texas teams, the Texas Longhorns, the Dallas Cowboys. Texans have got to start feeling a little bit better about them if they get their offensive line. So I think it's going to be a great football season for the state of Texas, for teams that we're involved in. I really do.
No, I mean, look, I'm a Texans fan. I'm optimistic. I'm hoping they upgrade their offensive line significantly between now and next season. That has to happen. Cowboys, look, the Cowboys were in the playoffs a year ago, and they should, on paper, be better next year. I mean, they should. I mean, Kellen Moore's in to run the offense. That's a question mark.
Is that defensive line going to fall apart, or I'll be in jail, or I'll miss four or five games?
They've added some pieces.
But they're used to that, though, right? They're used to that every season. Missing a couple guys for four games.
And you know what? I'll be surprised, and BK's going to yell at me for this, but I'll be surprised that with their first pick in the draft, the Cowboys, which is a second-round pick because they already dealt theirs for Amari Cooper, I'll be surprised if they don't take a defensive lineman. Because I think because Cowboys have been pretty good here under Will McClay and Stephen Jones of taking best player available. And I think because of the depth of the D-line class,
yes,
and how many great D-linemen there are in this class, I saw a mock draft this morning that had four of the first five picks being defensive linemen.
They'll take one without any baggage, though? Just,
well, I hope.
Like a good regular guy?
You hope. But there's going to be one there for them in the second round, and a good one, because there's just so many good ones. And they need a defensive tackle. They need someone stout at the point. And that's one of the reasons they signed Christian Covington from the Houston Texans. He's one of those three techniques that can get over the nose and
stuff the run. When he's healthy, he's pretty good.
And he is. He's a good player. The Texans let Christian Covington go because they have a guy named Carlos Watkins out of Clemson who they feel like is kind of the same player that they can use.
Remember when Covington, when he came out of Rice, was thought of by the Texans as this is a nice get. Then he got hurt, didn't he? Didn't he hurt his knee or something?
He'd been in and out, but he was hurt at Rice.
Okay, that's how he got there.
And he slipped off. They drafted Covington in the seventh round or something like that, but he was a better talent than that. I think that's where the Cowboys need help. If you go back to that Rams game when they gave up 273 yards rushing to L.A., they've got to be able to hold up at the point. You feel like you're pretty good with your pass rush, but I'll be surprised in a very deep D-line class if they don't on day one.
You wouldn't be mad at them, BK, would you, if they went and took a defensive lineman? I mean, one that's going to be around, one that doesn't have any baggage, any mental issues or any of that stuff?
No, I think they'll probably take a couple of defensive linemen. I would guess defensive lineman, wide receiver, and secondary.
Okay.
Maybe a running back as well. They might just draft another late-round running back, just add some depth to the backfield. But, I think defensive line and wide receiver, you'd see a lot of the Cowboys' picks going.
And it wouldn't matter either way. You'd rather have a defensive lineman first, right?
Yeah, I think
it's their biggest need. I mean, I really do. I think when you look at their linebacker core, they could use a safety, and this is a deep safety class as well. Or actually, it's not a deep safety class. It was a deep safety class a year ago. This is not seen as a deep safety. That's why the money was flying around for safeties on free agency, because it's not seen as a very good safety class coming up. So D-line, though, it's the best ever by all accounts. Again, there are mock drafts that have four of the first five picks being defensive linemen. Kyler Murray goes one, and then it's just a run of Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, the kid from Kentucky, coming off the edge. You know, the kid from Mississippi State, Montez Sweat.
I mean, a lot of guys.
All these guys are going to come off the board early. But that's going to push really good players at the defensive line position back into the Cowboys, I believe. They'll be quality guys.
In the second round. And for the Texas Longhorns, just go beat Lincoln Riley. Go beat them. You have all the players. You have all the players right now. And to tell the truth, if Brew McCoy plays, guys, I don't understand why this group – I always have doubts about them in the beginning of the season, but they don't play Maryland this year, so I'm good. I'm good to go. That early game with LSU, I think I don't know why they would be underdogs, except for LSU's got great talent. They always do. But they still got that same coach that won't let anybody cross the wall. I would think that Texas does have a chance not only to win the conference, but to be in that Final Four.
Well, and that would be the argument, right? If your goal is win the conference, if you do win the Big 12 and you beat Oklahoma – you'll have a chance to be in that conversation.
Yeah.
No, the question marks are, you know, replacing eight starters on defense. I mean, the offense seems like it's going to be the side of the ball that you're most confident in. It's the defense with losing eight key players.
Dude, that group on offense can ball control you to death now.
And we'll see if Todd Orlando can bring it along. All right, on the way to the break, and then the way to hot or not, I'm going to give away this four-pack of Indy race tickets because we want you to get them early here so you can make plans. You want to get out there today on a beautiful Friday. And here is your question, Buck. Here is the question. Who is the winningest Indy car driver all time? Who has the most victories in championship car racing all time? All-time winningest is what this series is called, the American Championship Car Racing, the Indy Cars. Who's got the most wins all time? If you know the answer at 447-3776, you will be the winner of a four-pack of tickets to the weekend at COTA. Pick them up now. Hot or Not is next.
What's hot? And what's not?
Altstadt's beers are carefully made using only four ingredients. Hops, barley, yeast, and artesian spring water. Authentic German beer from the great state of Texas. It's Altstadt beer.
Oh, hot or not. Weather, again, phenomenal today. You're going to love that. How about this, though? This is hot. The Horn is talking golf every Saturday morning now. Part of our Saturday morning lineup, 7 a.m. with Playing Through. It's hosted by CBS Austin Sports Director Bob Ballew, our great friend, and, of course, Carl Mickelson. Tune in for the latest in golf news. Behind the scenes, look at the PGA Tour. Our friend Joe Ogilvie, the former PGA Tour pro, will also be a part of that program. You get the Central Texas golf scene, equipment, technology, even some tips to improve your game. So you're playing through a slow buck, so they're playing through.
Absolutely.
Every Saturday morning, 7 a.m., starting tomorrow, the debut show, right here tomorrow with Carl and Bob and the crew. Playing through. Let them play. Also on the not hot side, Buck, I saw this story. You're not going to like this. Self-driving 18-wheelers will soon cruise next to you down Interstate 10 and other major Texas freeways.
Dude, I will freak out if I see that. Well, 10 is dead ahead. I love it. That's my favorite highway of all highways in the world is 10. Going west.
Well, here it is. TU Simple, a California-based autonomous truck startup, has been mapping routes and plans to haul commercial loads from Arizona to San Antonio to Houston and other Texas cities. The company will likely make a major announcement next month, according to the Houston Chronicle. Safety drivers will initially sit behind the wheel in the autonomous semis, but their leader, a guy named, Chief Product Officer Chuck Price, says he hopes to take the safety drivers out by the end of next year.
Hell no. First of all, I don't see a guy up there reading a paper while the truck is going either. Just sitting behind the wheel, reading the news with his paper, with his feet kicked up on the dashboard.
Autonomous.
18-wheelers.
18-wheelers. No. Self-driving 18-wheelers are coming to an interstate near you.
After the first one crashes into one of those wells out there.
How many mornings do we wake up to a semi-crash on I-35 with humans driving? Like once a week?
Human nature, human
almost
mistake.
Got more faith in those just because the long hours the truckers have to work. But then again, I like the truckers. I don't want them to lose their job.
Why are we taking a job? Why are these?
This guy.
We're seeing so many robots on TV. Why do they want our jobs? They want us.
Says self-driving 18-wheelers. We're probably going to spend $1 billion to make this happen.
Billions and billions. Really? You like all this stuff. You like all this movement technology.
Well, I just know it's coming. I'm open-minded to it, but I do agree.
Why?
It's going to cost a lot of truckers.
Do you realize
they're
going to take over the world, including these jobs that we do? There's going to be some guy with no heart sitting in my spot right here, no hair, bald head machine, talking crap.
You could not be replaced by a robot. Come on, man.
Let me tell you.
For this show?
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to see some guy on my bass fishing show, some robot turn around in a boat. Talking about how it looks.
I reached down and
grabbed a fish right out. Check this out.
Professions, you know, some people used to be like a horse-drawn carriage driver, right? That was not a good profession. That was eventually eliminated. Cab drivers. Truckers.
Stop it. Why are you eliminating people from gigs?
Airline pilots.
Well, they may have to put them back in at some point.
BK, what are you having, hot or not?
All right, guys, let's
you can pay off. You're going to pay off your deal, right?
Which one? The winner?
Yeah.
Of the tickets?
Yeah. Don't we have to pay off who it was?
Well, who was the winner of our IndyCar four-pack? Clayton was the winner.
And I know who it was.
Who won the most American championship open-wheel car races all time?
Cole Trickle.
Wasn't Dick Trickle either.
Wasn't Dick Trickle?
Cole Trickle was a movie actor.
That's when I used to watch that.
Tom Cruise.
Michael Andretti?
No.
Was it Mario Andretti?
No.
Was it Bobby Rahal?
No. A.J. Foyt, 67, open wheel races all time. 67. Now, if you go just the IndyCar series that will be here this weekend, and by the way, AJ Foyt won 7 championships. The great AJ Foyt, but Scott Dixon would be the best contemporary race car driver. But they'll be out at COTA this weekend.
So, what's her name still married to Dario Fettuccini?
Talking about Ashley Judd?
Yeah. She's still married to
that. She's still married to the Kentucky Wildcats. I know that. But BK, what do you have while I look that up?
Dario Fettuccini.
Brad Kellner in Hot or Not.
All right, guys. Give me an upset today in college basketball. Any upsets that are catching your eye?
Cal Irvine over Kansas State.
Bye-bye, Cincinnati.
No!
Iowa from the Big Ten. Iowa from the Big Ten. Get Cincy today.
By the way, Ashley Judd is no longer married to Dario Franchitti. Oh. Divorced in 20 and 13.
Wow. Yeah, she's had too much work. Don't
what do you
bother
mean?
With her. No, she had a lot of work done. She used to be cute.
Guys asking about the big ugly outdoor show with the great Casey Studdard. No, Casey's still on. He's on 7 to 8 to 9 now. We're giving Casey an extra hour of sleep. But there's more to come with Casey Studdard. I can promise you that. He's going nowhere. We just have golf now. Golf Talk at 7 a.m. every Saturday morning. Then it's the big ugly outdoors. Then it's 0900 with Colonel Flowers. The R Take ladies as well. It's good stuff. Stroker Ace was not the answer. Al Unser was not the answer either. It was A.J. Foyt. Thank you, BK. We'll come back. When we do, we pick up the conversations, reset all those headlines from day one. Look forward to day two of the tournament. Tom Kite coming up at 8:30 talking all things golf and Dell Match Play. It's Beanie on the Horn.